I'd like to turn your attention to the book of Judges, chapter 14. My goal as a pastor is to impart information that allow you to live for God based on the principles of God, based on the impartation of the power of the Word of God, which sometimes we underestimate because the power of the spoken word is just as powerful as the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And as we celebrated and worshiped God and felt His presence, we were refreshed and endued with power, but also by the preaching of the word. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so I hope that you'll walk out of here this morning empowered because of the principles and the information that is in this book. And it's just not telling the stories, but how does it apply to my life?
Amen.
So in Judges, the 14th chapter, starting in verse number 12, it says, "And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets." And the word sheets there is shirts, really. 30 shirts and 30 changes of garment. "But if you cannot declare it me, then shall you give me 30 sheets or shirts and 30 changes of garment." And they said unto him, "Put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it." And he said unto them, "Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness." And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. The word riddle here means puzzle or conundrum, a difficult thing to understand. In 7 days, God said, well, you'll have 70 or 70 years. In the 70 years you get, will you really understand the puzzle of life, the conundrum that you're in, the riddle that we go through? And if you do, God is going to bless you. He's going to bless you with a covering. He's going to bless you with an umbrella of His protection and blessing if you know the riddle. Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing, your touch. Allow us to not only hear your word, but allow it to become a part of us, God. Strengthen us through it. Help us with our resolve, oh God. Let it be clear when you speak, and let us be prompt to respond. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Most everyone knows the story of Samson. He was a judge. He was one of three judges that were delegated by God in order to deliver Israel from the enemy. He was born to Manoah and his wife. After years of wanting a child, finally they got this child that they wanted, and his name was to be Samson. God instructed his parents that he was to be a Nazarite. And that word Nazarite means separate, set apart for the sacred purpose of God. And we too, as a church, God says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. He was not to drink strong drink, eat anything unclean, or put a razor to his hair. He became a man of superhuman strength. No one in the Bible was ever stronger than Samson, but not because of his body strength. nor because of his long hair, but because of the presence of the Lord that came over him, a strong anointing, if you will, as he shook himself. God's purpose for Samson was to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. So now let's bring the story home to where we live. How does it affect it? It's a nice story about a strong man in the Bible. Samson is a type and shadow of the church today. We are the long-awaited children of God, called to be Nazarites of our own day, separated from the world, set apart for a sacred purpose. We have evidence of uncut hair in the church, and our purpose is to deliver people from the enemy, and the greatest enemy we have is sin. Our strength doesn't come from our resolve, our tenacious determination. The weakest person in here this morning is a Samson because of the Spirit of God that falls upon us. We walk out of a song service like this and we are conquerors. Nothing can come against us. But even with the power of God's Spirit, we live in a flesh suit. And every day we have to deal with this flesh. And God clearly shows us how vulnerable Samson was to his flesh. Even though he was raised in the proper place, even though he was in an environment that was godly. Remember, he is a type and shadow of who we are. And when Samson reached manhood, he went down to Timnath, a Philistine city. Why was he in a Philistine city? While there in the enemy territory, he saw a young Philistine woman, and immediately the Bible says he declared, I'm going to marry that woman. He liked what he saw. He allowed his flesh to be, you know, patronized. And when he got back home, he told his parents, get her for me. Oh, I'll tell you what, we in the church have risky business when we allow our kids to get beyond the house of God in order to pleasure, to do, to date. Take your Bibles and turn to Judges, the 14th chapter again. Starting in verse number 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all of my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're not in the right place, you're going to be tempted. If you're seeing some things that you shouldn't see, and we're living in an age of seeing everything, all we have to do is open our computer, all we have to do is, well, it's there. I wonder how many of today's Samsons have lost out with God because of someone they were attracted to outside the church. I'm just saying, I've seen it happen over and over. My daughter, when she was 17, 18 years old, said, Dad, there is nobody in the church that I would even consider marrying. And I said, oh, ye of little faith. And then God brought someone into her life. Glory to God. I guess some think, well, this is impossible or that is impossible. No. God wants to give us life and life more abundantly. God wants to give us happiness, but it's only going to be his way, not our way. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So, Samson's parents finally caved and agreed to the marriage, and started making the arrangements for this ungodly marriage. And as Samson made his way to make the marriage proposal to this Philistine woman, he was suddenly attacked by a lion leaping on him. You know, sometimes if we're going the wrong direction, God has a way of saying, wrong way, I'm sorry, you're not going that way. I'm protecting what I have produced. But the Spirit of the Lord had mercy, and it came upon him, and he killed it with his bare hands. It was like absolutely nothing. We have the power of God to take care of any enemy in our life if we're going the right direction. He threw the dead lion into the bushes at the roadside and calmly continued on his way to see his girlfriend. God must approve it because he gave me the strength. You know, the Bible tells us because judgment is not executed immediately, some people just continue in sin. Well, I'm in the wrong place, and God still blesses me in song service. That's the mercy of God. Amen. Oh, I don't tithe, but God still allowed. That's the mercy of God. What he's trying to do is get your attention, but eventually you'll get to the place where the faucet is turned off. I know this preaching is hard this morning, but the people who are here are strong. Returning to Timnath for the wedding, Samson passed by the place where he killed the lion, and his curiosity got the best of him. So he stopped where he had killed the lion, and he walked over to the carcass, and a swarm of bees made a beehive in the carcass, and it was filled with honey. And he put his hand in and he grabbed the honey and he tasted of the sweetness of the honey to his fill. And then he thought, you know, my parents would love this too. And so he grabbed more honey and brought it home for his parents. Now, while the final wedding preparations were underway, Samson planned a party for the men in town, partying with the enemy. God's saying, what is going on with this boy? What are you doing there? Why are these the people that you want to party with? Amen. Could somebody say amen? Amen. Samson was caught up in the celebration, and he decided to bring forth a riddle because not only was he strong, but he was smart as well, probably a little prideful. He called the men together and challenged them to a game of mental skill. And whoever solved the riddle received the wardrobe of fancy clothes from him. And they all agreed to the rules of the contest, and Samson brought forth the riddle. Again, let's turn to Judges, the 14th chapter. Starting in verse number 10. And so his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast. For so used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you if you can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out. Then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if you cannot declare it me, then shall you give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garment. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? So there were extortioners back then who threatened people. You know what? If you live for God, if you... And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost put hate in me and lovest me not, thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ascalon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. Now, this is not Delilah. This is the first wife. But he still had the propensity to go outside of his people in order to find another woman that would please him. So the woman he had to have. Get her for me. Well, as his wife, because the flesh wanted what he knew was forbidden, caused him great anguish, and in the end lost out with God. So where is the application of life in this scripture? There will come a time when each of us in our lives, when we want to revisit the scene where the enemy wanted to destroy us. I can't help but go back to some of those situations, some of those attacks that I've had since I've been in the church, and you have had as well. We all have had an attack that could have destroyed us, but there was a timely deliverance through the Spirit of God that allowed us to continue to live for God. We're all going to be attacked. Don't think it's strange that this fiery trial will come on to you. I've gone back to those times to remember the victories God gave me, retracing my steps to where I could have died spiritually, but God somehow gave me the power to go through it. It wasn't easy, but God gave me the power. But now the pain of the problem no longer has power over me. There are times when there are these attacks, these things that you know you didn't deserve, or, you know, I'm living for God. Why am I sick? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? You know what? But after a while, as you see God's wisdom in what's going on, there's no longer power of the pain in your life. At that point, we realize we're victors, not victims. My trial brought triumph. God used my setbacks as setups for blessings in my life. He turned our test into testimonies that we can give other people around us. Every stumbling block was a transformation into a stepping stone that brought us closer to God and had a more intimate relationship with God, because now he's not just a God, he's your God. He is your deliverer, not just Israel's deliverer. And these victories are to be shared as honey from a dead carcass. Do you know what God did for me? You know, some people will just not be able to consume the Word of God, but there's some honey on our lips. We have the sweetness of God that nobody can deny. Hallelujah. A testimony to others of what God can do for them. If it did it for me, he can do it for you. Would you turn to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. Verse 7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. Not just sometimes, not just when you're doing real good, Amen. Not just when you're healthy, but when you're sick. Amen. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Some wonder if any good can come out of an attack or a painful experience. What's the purpose here, God? Amen. I'm here to tell you there is honey in the carcass. There is a victory down the road. God will allow you to extract sweetness from some form of suffering and be stronger for the process. God's not looking for an anemic church, people who can't go through anything, but they're building up their spiritual resolve and muscles because of things that they have to resist on a regular basis. And the idea is sometimes that, well, I'm going through this because maybe I'm not living the way God wants me to live. No, you are living the way God wants you to live, and he's giving you this opportunity to resist and gain a testimony and stature and strength. God takes the very thing that tried to destroy us and turns it into a place of provision. Listen, God always takes what is meant for evil and then turns it around and makes it into good. You know? The king says, destroy all of the baby boys. And so we take Moses and we throw him in the very river that's supposed to destroy. And God prepares an ark in the middle of, God prepares a church for those who want to be saved. And then we become the victors. We lead people like Moses led people out of Egypt into the promised land. Took the very instrument that was to kill him and made him strong. God will allow us to get that strong deliverance. God takes that thing and it gives us provision. Samson's riddle or puzzle or conundrum in the Hebrew, that's what it says, is also our riddle of life. The question is, can you come up with the answer? The ability to turn suffering into sweetness. Do you know how to do that? Or you just suffer? There are two important things to take into account when it happens, not if it happens, but when it happens to you. There isn't anybody is exempt from some of these attacks in the church. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Don't be surprised that there's going to be a road that's a little rocky in order to get to the place of gold streets in heaven. What will be our response and what will be our perception of what has happened to us in our dilemma? Our response and perception of our problem or suffering will make all of the difference as to the outcome of what happens. Refuse to roll over and give in, because we are more than conquerors. Don't let this thing control you. There's too many people who have been in the church and they've had dilemmas and disasters within their life, and it's controlled them. And it's happened 20 years ago, but they're still brooding because of it, and it makes them bitter, and then it turns into hate, and eventually it turns them out. Make up your mind. I am an overcomer. Refuse to give in to the despair of situations. I know what I'm talking about. Instead of focusing on a negative, change your perspective and look for the positive in everything that happens to you. Hallelujah. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Turn to Genesis 35, please. You know, Jacob loved Rachel. He loved her. In verse number 16 of that 35th verse, it says, "And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was put a little way to come, Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." You had Joseph, you're going to have this one. "And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin." She called his name Benoni, the son of sorrow, but his father, Jacob, called him Benjamin, the son of my right hand. It all depends on how you look at the problem. Amen. You know? This is not just theory. This is Bible. Amen. I couldn't preach this message if I didn't live this message, didn't go through some of these situations, and you also. I've been in so much physical pain that I wondered if I was going to live. I remember crawling out to God saying, I can't stand the pain anymore. It's so difficult. The fear of financial loss because of a lawsuit, thinking I think I'm going to lose everything I have, but it wasn't my fault. I did not initiate this thing. The loss of a loved one, even a grandson, that just didn't make any sense. The worst day of my entire life. The rejection by people that I love, that I have sacrificed for, is sometimes almost unbearable. The fear of going through an operation and getting a general anesthetic, wondering, am I ever going to wake up again? Amen. Most people can't answer the riddle of life. How to turn suffering into sweetness. Where do you get your honey? But if you look for the sweetness in the dead carcass, I'm telling you, it's there. And that's why we so many times quote Romans 8 and 28, and we know. That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know it's right. It's just that we have to figure out the riddle. How is this going to work? Where is the sweetness out of this tragedy? Turn to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, please. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17. For our light affliction, which but for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Afflictions are just a moment. See, God's economy of time is so different than ours. And he knows that, okay, I'll allow this to happen in your life, this slight affliction. But I'm telling you, there's a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory that's coming down the road. I've got something prepared for you. Not only in the life beyond, but the life right here. Life more abundantly. Circumstances may have dealt you a death blow, but life always comes out of death. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. Jesus said in John 12 and 24, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." If I allow this thing to come into your life, you are a privileged individual, and through it, who knows who is going to be saved by it? Who knows who is going to be touched by it? Who knows who is going to be in the hospital with you? Who knows what doctor is going to attend you? Who knows the people who have gone through the same trial, the same suffering that you have gone through? I couldn't minister to the needs of people if I had not experienced some of the problems that the people I try to minister to. Listen, eventually, God takes our problems and turns them into a source of provision and strength. David's encounter with Goliath provided him with a sword so he could overcome future enemies with that sword. Samson dried up jawbone became a fountain of refreshing for him after he killed 1,000 of the Philistines. Job's tragedy produced a double portion of God's blessing. Daniel's lion's den ate up his enemies and saved his people. Joseph's prison term put him in Egypt's palace and second in command to not only save his family, but save all those people in Israel. Genesis 50 and 20, it says, Joseph said, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." Why? "To bring to pass, as it is this day, the saving of much people alive." Man, you just got a raw deal. Slavery, prison. But God said, "No, wait until the honey comes. Wait until you can see your father and your little brother, Benjamin. Wait until you have the power and the authority to have influence over thousands and thousands of lives." God recorded all of these and more to assure us that sweetness comes out of problems. I know we don't want them. Little Johnny doesn't want to go to school that first day. He wants to stay home with mom. But we know it's better that he go to school. Sometimes God says, "I'm going to have my hands off of you for a little while. You're not going to feel that presence so strong anymore. But I want to see if you could walk by yourself without me touching you all of the time. But I'll never leave you or forsake you." And Samson said unto them, "I will now put forth a riddle unto you." And he said unto them, "Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness." Our life is a riddle that only God has the answer to. Amen. You can come to me and say, "Pastor, I don't understand what is going on here. I don't know the answer of your riddle either, but God knows what's going on." Trials bring forth triumph. Tests transform into testimonies. Setbacks become setups for blessings. Stumbling blocks turn into stepping stones, which actually bring us closer to God. Some of you would never pray unless you had a problem in your life. Thank God for tragedies. Thank God for problems that drive us to our knees to get closer to God. And then when he delivers us, we know we have a God that is there for us. God will turn your mess into meat. and allow you to extract the sweetness from the suffering that you've endured. Can you answer the riddle of life? That's what God is saying. Will you be faithful? I'm putting forth a riddle in your life. You've got a little sickness here. You lost your job. Somebody wasn't kind to you. Somebody walked out of your life. You've got some hurt. There's been a loss. Do you know the answer to the riddle? There's sweetness coming. If you could just reach down into that carcass and pull out some honey that is going to nourish you, there's some great things in store. Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me? So many times over 30 years, I've just wanted to come up to people who are going through problems and want to eliminate them all together in their life, but that would be the wrong thing. If I had that ability, it would be the wrong thing. Because God's building some character. He's building some strong Christians. I never want to get to the place where I feel sorry for myself because I'm going through it. Because there's nothing that happens to us that first is not approved by God. His agenda is to get us to heaven. Surprisingly, his agenda is not to make us comfortable here. His agenda is not to give us more money than we can spend. But see how faithful we are with the little that we have. His agenda is to make us complete and content in whatever state that we are in, knowing that we've got a God that oversees every second of our life. And then, as David said, the Lord is... He's my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Beside the still waters, he gives me the peace. He didn't make us to wind up and let go. I have a carving on my mantle that I look at every morning. It's made out of olive wood. I'm not sure if I bought it or somebody gave it to me, but it's a shepherd. And the shepherd has a lamb around his neck, typifying a shepherd cares so much for this little lamb. He's willing to break the leg of the lamb and carry it around until it's healed. And so there's an attachment and a relationship. Maybe what you're going through is so God can develop a relationship with you that he couldn't have if everything was just fine. Hallelujah. I think I want to get closer to him without having my leg broke. I just want to take the opportunity.
Many are the hands. Lean on me. As you have heard this morning, I am the sweetness. I am the one that allows for you to overcome in all of your circumstances.
Glory to God. Would you come?